When looking for that which most threatens the democratic model of contemporary American life, a relative few find, much less understand, the dangers of co-opted media pose. Ownership of media venues continues its path of attrition unabated, despite the objections of communities throughout the nation, as evidenced by the Justice Department's recent decision to permit Charter Communications' acquisition of Time Warner Cable just last week. One company involved, but barely mentioned in the complex set of transactions, is the parent company of Bright House Networks, Advanced Publications, Inc., a holding company whose media properties include 19 daily newspapers, the Oregonian Media Group among them. Advanced Publications remains, as it began in the 1920s, a family-run business, which today ranks among the top 50 privately held corporations in the country, according to Forbes magazine. Its founder, Samuel Irving Newhouse, embarked upon an acquisition frenzy that lasted nearly three decades before his death in 1979, but under the management of his descendants, led by sons Samuel Jr., also known as Cy, and younger brother Donald, Advanced Publications and their interests expand with the passage of time and deepen with the advancement of technology. But before we explore the holdings of the intergenerational Newhouse family business in detail, an understanding of the trend that sees more and more media outlets get placed in fewer and fewer hands can serve as a starting point to learning how such a vast empire was built so anonymously. The starting point we chose took place in October of 2006 with the Federal Communications Commission, where a standing room only crowd in El Segundo, California heard the following statement by one of its members, Michael Copps.
Let me just take a minute to emphasize what's at stake here, because our media is precious. It's how, outside of our strictly personal spheres, we talk to each other and inform each other and learn from each other and entertain each other, and how we learn about decisions we as citizens have to make. Media is, I believe, the most powerful enterprise, most powerful business in the United States of America. And if we're smart about it, we'll make sure that our media, using your airwaves, and they are your airwaves, reflect the genius and creativity and all the wonderful diversity of this great country. 3 years ago, we had a near disaster at the FCC. That previous FCC gutted the rules meant to check media consolidation, and it did so through an almost totally non-transparent process. It did so over the strong objections of Commissioner Adelstein and me. Maybe they thought it wouldn't be a public issue, but it became a public issue, even though big media didn't want to talk very much about it or tell the American people very much about it. Nevertheless, nearly 3 million Americans found out, rose up, and told the FCC they didn't like it one bit. I didn't know 3 million people even knew there was an FCC when I went there. Congress got mad, too, and then a federal court sent those rules back to us as procedurally and substantively flawed. So it was a big citizen victory to check those rules. That's the good news. But the reality check is now we're back at square one and everything is up for grabs. So again, it depends on you, the people. I can't imagine a city with more at stake than this great metropolitan area, perhaps the most diverse city in the United States. Today, people of color comprise more than 30% of our country's population. Yet only 3.26% of all TV stations are minority-owned. I've seen other figures that say people of color own maybe 1% of the broadcast assets of the United States of America. So is it any wonder that our media provides such a distorted picture of minorities? How much better it would be if our diversity was reflected by our media and nourished by our media. There are some people who seem to think that diversity is a problem for the United States to overcome. I see diversity as an opportunity to be harnessed. But first, we need a media capable of serving everyone, not just some advertiser's idea of a mainstream demographic. We're also here to learn about localism. Locally owned newspapers, TV news, and radio used to be the rule and not the exception. And then some companies got the idea of building great empires from sea to sea, and they had the political muscle to get it done. Sometimes these companies put their business plans ahead of the public interest. The latest twist now is that a few of them are starting to doubt whether those business plans made sense in the first place. Yet they continue to beat the drums for more consolidation. And it might be amusing if it weren't so sad, because the consequences are no joke. Local newsrooms and stations devastated by job cuts, local citizens despairing about the state of the news, and minorities shut out of America's most powerful industry. So we need your help in answering these and other questions, and for my part, as we begin, I pledge to you not to rest until we get a media environment that works for every person in this hall tonight.
That was Michael Copps, who would ultimately chair the commission and become its seventh longest-serving member before retiring in 2012. Today, he serves on the board of Free Press and acts as special advisor of democracy and media reform for the public interest group Common Cause. The commissioner was gracious enough to accept our invitation to discuss the dynamics of media consolidation and how different it looks over the space of time with KBOO Evening News Director Lisa Loving.
In 2006, you delivered a moving address to a crowd attending a public hearing at a Southern California high school. We wanted to ask if you could share your thoughts about where policy and practice were that night and walk our listeners through to the rules that govern the airwaves now.
My subject that night was the dismal state of our media and the awful effects our media policies at the FCC were having on our news and our information and our journalism and the civic dialogue. We were in the middle of, I shouldn't say the middle because it seems the FCC is always considering media ownership transactions, buyouts, takeovers, and the like. And it was getting set to do another round of those, and we were trying public interest groups, and myself and my colleague Jonathan Adelstein at the FCC, to put the brakes on that, ideally to halt it, but at least to put the brakes on this while we still had some local and community media left. The bazaar has continued almost uninterrupted since then. And it's gotten, in a way, even worse because now we're not just talking about radio and television and cable, but also the Internet. And how does that fit into our media ecosystem? And how are we going to make the Internet serve the public interest like we tried to make radio, TV, and cable serve the public interest? But we're not terribly successful in that. We were successful in putting the brakes on what 2006 Chairman Martin was trying to do to encourage more media ownership and to approve just about every merger transaction, not just in media but in telecom too, that came through the FCC. And luckily those rules were stayed by the court, but the effort went on and consolidation goes on too, because the old rules, which were established in 1996, actually opened the way for more media consolidation. So it's a huge issue. To me, it's certainly, the sad state of our media is the number one communications issue faced by citizens in the United States. And to me, it may be the number one issue facing the United States of America.
In 2011, you were the only commissioner with the FCC to vote against the merger between Comcast and NBC. You warned against Rupert Murdoch's acquisition of the Wall Street Journal. Can you talk a little bit about the challenge that mergers, acquisitions, and subsidiaries pose as they apply to determining who owns the nation's media venues?
Who owns the media and controls the content. You know, the old saying, he who owns the gold makes the rules. That's the golden rule, and the golden rule in media, I guess. He who owns the media makes the rules in the media, especially if you have a docile Federal Communications Commission that's not living up to its job of protecting the people's airwaves, which in my mind is its primary responsibility. When the Comcast NBC Universal merger came along, I think it was presented to the commission in 2011.
Hey, and it's a pledge break. You can pick up your phone and dial 877-500-5266 and make your pledge. And now is the time when you really want to do that, because, Amy,
it is the special you've been waiting for. It is Who Owns the O. It's a special show tonight about who is owning the actual media. It's a really important issue, obviously, for a radio station, and for just how the information is shared within our community and our nation, which, you know, it leads to a lot of the issues that we are facing today when information is not shared properly and simply. And also, Doug, guess what? It's a matching period right now. So an anonymous donor has donated money. So for the next $500 that come in, will be doubled. So
doubled. doubled, baby. And that's between 5 and 6. This is only during the evening news. Your pledge will be doubled. Call in now. Get that Democracy Now! Book, the Democracy Now! T-shirt. Your $75 pledge will be $150 to KABU. And again, at only $6.25 a month. That is so doable. And you're supporting a great, great station that puts news and information up there for you. News and information you're not going to get from other places. The whole corporate consolidation, well, that's what we're talking about tonight. And that's why it's so important to contribute to KABU. Just dial 877-500-5266.
Yeah, and do it right now. You know, Spencer, he's a new member from Welch's, Oregon.
Yay, Spencer.
Spencer did that. He picked up the phone. He called us. He made a donation. So that is what we're asking you to do right now. And it's so amazing that right now, if you give $5 a month, that's ends up being $10, so it would be $60 for the year, it would be $120 for KABU. It's really great when you're on a if you can only feel like you can give such a if you can only give a small amount, you can feel like your money can be go even further when you're able to call during those matching periods. So that's amazing. We are in a matching period. The number to call is 877-500-5266. Can go online to our website, kboo.fm. Can pledge that way. Can pledge on our mobile app. And we are asking people to get involved on Facebook right now with the show that's going on tonight. And KABU Community Radio is the name of our Facebook page. So swing on over there. Get involved with the Who Owns the O show that we're having this hour. Call and pledge to get your pledge doubled. The number to call is 877-500-5266. Again, 877-500-5266.
To me, that should have been all the wake-up call that the country ever needed to understand the horrific threat posed by these mergers, because this was not just old media and NBC radio and television and cable, of course, with Comcast, but this was the new media of the internet. It was the control of the wires into your house, the distribution, and it was content now. So it was vertical integration, it was horizontal integration, the media and the message, I mean, this was the combination of the two. And I looked at it and tried to explain, you know, this is not just about the past and old television and radio stations the way some people looked at it, but this is about the internet that's going to be the way we communicate with each other, the way we get jobs and apply for jobs and educate ourselves. And we're going to put all this control in one company and give it power like no power should be able to and no company should be able to wield in a democratic society. So I tried to make that case, and a lot of the public interest groups did too, but the commission, and this was not a Republican commission, this was actually under a Democratic commission, much to my dismay, because I was a Democratic member of the commission. The commission voted 4-1 to approve the merger with a few conditions. It didn't amount to a hill of beans, and I was the one who voted against it. That should have alerted everybody, but took a while longer until we got to the 2012-2013 open internet rules. That's a whole other story. But I think the Comcast-NBCU merger was just frightening, and the lobbying machine that was put to work to approve that merger was just incredible. There's a wonderful book on it called Captive Audience by Susan Crawford, who kind of details how the company went about lobbying the commission, lobbying the Congress, lobbying the media, lobbying everybody they could.
That was former FCC Chairman Michael Kopp speaking with KABU's Lisa Levine about the impact of media consolidation on democratic societies and the role of agencies said to be in place to ensure that the public interest guides the principles of policy. Another member on the panel that night worked for the Media Alliance. They're an advocacy organization for media workers that was founded in the 70s. Their executive director, Tracy Rosenberg, discussed media consolidation from the perspective of a nonprofit organization working to reinvigorate the diversity of media ownership. Your organization was represented on a panel discussing media consolidation 10 years ago. What was your position on the matter then, and has it shifted in the decades since? also go into how much more or less concentrated is media ownership today?
Well, we've been talking about it for even longer than 10 years. My recollection is it's been more like 20. The reason that we've always been concerned about consolidation is that it creates a self-perpetuating cycle. As we can all see with the news, you can hear the same story on 20 different outlets, and it sounds remarkably the same. So when you're talking about consolidated ownership, you're not only talking about a lack of diversity of perspective and a lack of individuals having the control over these media outlets. You're talking about sort of a consolidation of news services and news departments that results in basically lots and lots of the same thing. And what that causes is that we don't have a robust public conversation. Instead, we have a repetition of the same sort of lazy memes over and over and over again. And nuance and context and depth and perspective really don't make much of an appearance in our news and in our public affairs conversations. And if you want to know why that's happening, it's happening because of consolidated media ownership. It's happening because no matter which channel we turn on and which newspaper we pick up and which radio station we turn on and which internet site we go to, in most cases, one of six corporations owns that particular outlet. So even though we listen to it 20 different times in 20 different places, it's the same five or six entities speaking.
What do we know about those entities?
We know that they are large corporations with a presence in a wide variety of industries. They also have subsidiary interests in a number of other industries. Basically, we're just talking about super mega corporations. And as we know, when you're talking about corporations and the bigger they are, the more this is true. Essentially, the decision-making criteria is profit for the shareholders. The stated goals of journalism, the fourth estate, essentially role as defined in the Constitution, runs up against profit for the shareholders, because these are not the same things. Holding government accountable in the interests of the people doesn't necessarily create profit for shareholders. So the ability of our media to do what the media is supposed to do per the Constitution is gravely threatened by the consolidation of ownership within media to a handful of corporations.
I've also encountered this virtual maze, army of pawns and subsidiaries and false fronts, and I get the sense it's designed to make me dizzy so that whoever it is engineering what that puppet station says is not for me to know. And I don't know how I'm supposed to find my way to a place of trust about the information if I can't see that.
Yes, there are a lot of LLCs and circular structures within corporations and names that are put forward that don't tell you who's really the owner. There's no doubt about that. But the six companies that literally own about 90% of the media is GE, News Corp, Disney, Viacom, Time Warner, CBS. And there are a couple of others. Comcast is getting pretty high up there. But essentially, it's a handful. You can count them on your fingers and toes. And that's where virtually all of the media content is coming.
Hey, you can call right now at 877-500-5266. Become a member of KABU and contribute to make sure that there is an alternative voice out there with news and public affairs. So many companies, only a handful, three or four, own most of the radio stations in America. We're independent, we're local, we're free, and based right here in the community. And all you need to do to become a member and support this kind of programming is dial 877-500-5266.
And 80% of our money that we use to support our radio station, when you call 877-500-5266, 80% comes from listeners just like you. And most of the donations we can count on our fingers and toes. The amount they are giving in a monthly way, sustaining us, is the easiest way to do that. If you pledge a $5 amount a month, it works out to $60 a year. And right now, we're in a membership matching period, which means it would be doubled. So if you were to call 877-500-5266 right now and pledge $5 a month, that would actually be $120, and you could get a KABU versus the Media Zillas t-shirt, which is you know, you can kind of imagine what it is based on that name. It is Cebu taking on the big corporate media, which is what we're talking about right now in this Who Owns the O show. So again, that number is 877-500-5266. Get in on this matching period.
Indeed. Double your impact by pledging now during the evening news hour. And, you know, I mean, we love coming to you every week. We love coming to you every week with news and information. It's a labor of love. So show us some love and give us a call at 877-500-5266. About 55,000 people, we say it, but it's true. 55,000 people listen. Only around 5,000 of you are members. So it's time to become a member. Show your support. That way we can get this kind of news and information out there. We're not a commercial station. We rely on you, our listeners, and volunteers like Amy and I. We come in here, we do news and public affairs programming, and it's important to get some of this information out there. Some of these are controversial and neglected perspectives. And, you know, we're years ahead of the mainstream media in covering major stories like food safety, agriculture, climate change, police brutality, the war on drugs. What can I say? Cebu, it's the stuff. And all you have to do is dial 877-500-5266. And for this hour, you double your impact, make your pledge, and we have an anonymous donor who is going to match your donation. So call now.
Yeah, and you can also walk on by. 20 Southeast 8th Avenue is our location. And if you're not already familiar with our location, it'll be really important to know where we are once you become a member, because you actually become part of the station and can vote for our board members. You are able to vote in how Cebu continues to be run. That is an amazing power that you get just by calling 877-500-5266, giving up a little bit of your hard-earned money to help support Cebu. And, you know, maybe you can do $10 a month, maybe you could do $15 a month, any amount that you can give right now, it is going to be doubled, which is incredible, and it really does make the difference.
In time to ring the bell, we got a renewing membership. Patra from Southeast Portland renewed the membership, and, you know, renewing members, new members. If you're already a member, you can increase your donation. We appreciate that. Thank you gifts like the book Democracy Now! 20 Years Covering the Movements Changing America. Only $6.25 a month. That's a $75 annual pledge. And right now, that doubles. So your $75 pledge actually turns into $150. Now, I know, pledge breaks, this is the time that drives you nuts. But you know, there's a way we could cut a whole day off of these pledge drives. Every $1,000 a month that we can increase our monthly donations, by every $1,000 that it increases, we're able to take a day off the membership drives. That's true. So if you and your friends and the people you know would just go ahead and call that number, 877-500-5266. Become a sustaining member with a monthly donation, and you can help us stay on the air, get this great information out there. If you're on the web at kboo.fm, click on Donate Now.
Yeah, and Cebu Hosts and Affairs, we are your community members, the volunteers that come in here and bring you the news every day of the week are the people you share this community with. And don't you want to share with us what you're able to do to support the radio station? The number to call, it's 877-500-5266. And you're really, once you become a contributing member, you'll feel a little bit differently when you turn on the radio station. Sometimes you might feel a little like a freeloader, like, you know, I've been listening to these membership drives and I just haven't given yet. But we thank you so much for calling and supporting us at 877-500-5266.
And would you describe the Newhouse family, the folks who own the Oregonian through Advanced Publications, as one of those digits, whether they be on the hands or the feet?
Mm-hmm. They're probably on the feet, but even so, the feet is not so much better than the hand.
As I think about 20th century familial media dynasties, we hear Graham, we hear Hearst, we hear Sulzberger. Why not Newhouse? It seems to me that what they own puts them in that realm.
Oh, they're certainly in the realm. As I said, they're definitely in the toes. In some cases, these companies are rather, shall we say, publicity forward, and I think that's extremely true, for example, with Disney, with News Corp that owns Fox. Time Warner is another that's very present and puts themselves forward. Condé Nast has been a quieter business in the sense they haven't been quite as publicity hungry. They probably don't get quite as much attention for that reason. But again, it's a company that is gobbling up multiple media outlets in a sort of predatory capitalism style that largely consolidates them and attempts to make money essentially by economies of scale. And economies of scale across media outlets means less coverage, less diversity of coverage. It's bad for workers. And essentially, it's bad for consumers because we're getting the same content sort of repackaged and slightly modified over and over again. Saves money, but doesn't make us more informed.
As I evaluate and assess and want to put a label on everything that I take in, the expression wants to become top-down journalism. Is that an expression that makes sense to you?
Absolutely. It's top-down journalism. It used to be that journalism, the relationship between, say, a writer or a reporter and an editor, essentially was not entirely bottom-up, but it was a sort of a local and a grounded connection that resulted in what you got to read or what you got to see. As these companies layer up, what you find is that most of the content is coming from the top down. It's vastly syndicated, repackaged, and redistributed. It doesn't really have anything to do with fellow citizens in your community looking at what's going on locally and talking about it. You're getting information that's basically run through channels that could be 3,000 miles away from you and sort of comes back. And again, it comes back in a way beneficial for the shareholders of that corporation, not for you and for your local community, top down.
An environment where we engage in one size fits all messaging.
Definitely. And when you're talking about one size fits all, the impact of that or the damage always falls on those of us that don't fit in as well to the majority communities and the majority consensus. And of course, that refers to people of color. Of course, it refers to lower income people. Of course, it refers to lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. I mean, anyone who isn't 100% conforming is sort of left out of one size fits all, because the reality is one size doesn't fit all.
That was Tracy Rosenberg, the executive director of the Media Alliance, sharing her insights on the state of media ownership as profit-driven corporations. William Morris, founder and chairman of the Morris Publishing Group, provided a chilling example of the top-down journalism model KBOO discussed with the Media Alliance's executive director last year when he penned an editorial criticizing American policy over Syrian refugees. The copy was forwarded to all 11 newspapers Morris owns, and all were advised to run the essay in their editorial columns absent a byline. All but one of those papers complied with that order without question. One last note on the consequences of media consolidation stems from a 2002 story about a train derailment in North Dakota 4 years before the meeting that our audio clips have highlighted. More than 200 gallons of hazardous materials were spilled at 1 in the morning. Clear Channel Communications owned 6 out of the 7 commercial stations in the area, but authorities contend when they attempted to alert the media who could advise the local public, there was no one available to broadcast the warning or even to answer the phone. Coming up on our special broadcast of Who Owns the O, we'll be going even further back to the mid-20th century to explore the Newhouse family's acquisition of the Oregonian and the labor strike that made national news. Advanced publications looked cross-country as early as 1950 when Newhouse spent a record $5.6 million to purchase the Oregonian. A labor strike broke out shortly before its only competitor, which Newhouse bought 11 years later. The 6-year-long strike would ultimately garner the support of more than 10 unions, which collaborated to start an alternative paper that has survived the times. The paper is known today as Northwest Labor Press. It began as the Portland Reporter. KBOO's own Jamie Partridge was hired in that way back when to deliver news friendlier to the labor movement. During the time of the strike, you were but a lad delivering the brand new news venue that was actually created as a result of the labor conflict with the owners of the Oregonian. Were customers responsive to the Portland Reporter's take on local issues, do you think?
Yes, the Portland Reporter was, of course, from the view of an 11 and 12-year-old when I was delivering the Portland Reporter, was a credible newspaper. It was being produced by the striking writers, reporters of the Oregonian and Journal, and therefore the same folks that were putting out the other day. Only those on strike at the time. Their view, of course, was pro-labor, and there was always regular coverage of labor issues in the newspaper. But it had started out as a weekly in 1961, about a year after the strike started. Your listeners are not aware, it was 6 long years, and after the first year, it was a wall-to-wall strike. Typesetters and the distributors, as well as the writers and reporters, were all on strike, decided that they needed to set up an alternative to compete with the Oregonian as one way of taking it down. And they started as a weekly, when it went to a semi-weekly and then a daily paper by February of 1961. And it was, even where I was living at the time, it was considered a credible paper, and I lived down in Lake Oswego.
From what I've been able to learn, the strike went on from 1959 until 1965. It was ultimately supported by a total of 11 unions. Before it ended, vehicles exploded, and I've seen reports that Donald Newhouse himself, production manager at the time, was shot. Do you recall a sense of tension over the violence being associated with a strike?
Oh, sure. It was big news. I'd never heard of a newspaper going on strike, let alone going on strike and establishing an alternative, but it was the biggest thing going in the city of Portland at the time. And like you said, there was a delivery truck that was blown up, and all the unions were in solidarity with the strike. That is, they honored the picket line. The Teamsters wouldn't cross with the delivery of newsprint and that sort of thing. But the Newhouse, who bought the Oregonian and the Journal about a year into the strike, used it as a way to shut down the Journal.
The path to ownership of these papers, do you think those steps were ethically taken?
Well, the rumor had it at the time that Newhouse bought the two papers in order to shut down the Journal as well as to break the union, which he effectively did. And of course, that consolidated the ownership of the news in the area considerably. And of course, the View, his decisions about what was reported and what was not reported. The Portland Reporter had good investigative reporting as well as national and international news. And after the Portland Reporter went out of business within just 4 years, there was nothing left except the Oregonian. And of course, within a year after the Reporter went out, the strike was called off.
That was Jamie Partridge about his take on the long-term impact of the newspaper strike for the...
Hey, we're back. Call 877-500-5266. I'm Doug. This here is Amy, and we're here to tell you how much you need to support KBOO.
It's about this much, which is really big. My arms going as far apart from each other as I can. And we've got actually a lot of support and a lot of reason to be happy right now, because we are in a matching period. Any amount you give right now during the evening news, during this Who Owns the O special, it will be doubled, which is an amazing, amazing thing. So the number to call is 877-500-5266. All right, you want to help me out with this bell here, Doug?
I'm looking forward. Let me start reading them off. I'll start giving their bells.
All right, so we've got Heather, who really loves the evening news.
Thank you, Heather.
We've got Alice, who was turned on to KBOO by her daughter.
Alice and your daughter, thank you.
Thank you, yeah. Christian in Forest Grove, he got the hoodie, so he's going to be rocking it. It's going to be
cool.
Got
that hoodie.
Everyone in Forest Grove will know who the cool kid is.
You get an extra 10 for getting the hoodie.
All right. And then Linda is a renewing member in Northwest. Thank you, Linda.
Linda, thank you so much.
Elizabeth, a new member here in Southeast Portland.
And Elizabeth, fantastic. And you know, all they do is pick up the phone and dial. Dial? Who dials a phone anymore? Press the numbers, 877-500-5266. I remember dial phones.
You can also surf on over to kboo.fm. You can make a secure online donation that way. And you know, a really easy way to give that we're able to do right now is the monthly donations. It used to be, has to be an EBT coming out of your checking account. EFT. We can still do those. We can also put that on your credit card. So each month, a tiny bite-sized amount comes out. And if you donate $5 a month, we've got three different t-shirts that are KBOO t-shirts. So you could pick up for a could pick up one of them for a $5 a month membership amount, which is $60 a year, which becomes $120 right now during our membership special. The hoodie is for a $20 a month membership amount. And the number to call is 877-500-5266. If you pledge $20 a month, that ends up being $240 a year. And the reason it's important to give monthly, if you can, is that we can count on that all year. And as Doug mentioned recently, every $1,000 that we... Is it $1,000?
If we can increase the amount that we bring in on every month by $1,000, then that cuts a day off of the pledge drive, which means that you get more of the programming you love without these interruptions to remind you to dial 877-500-5266.
Do it today or now, or KBOO.FM.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, no, thank you. Oh,
my pleasure, please. And it's double pledge, so remember, dial now, your pledge gets doubled.
Labor issues are peppered throughout the Newhouse ascension up the media food chain. The company settled the class action lawsuit just last year that had been brought in the summer of 2013 by 7,500 interns for $5.8 million. Petitioners in the matter of Ballinger versus Advanced Publications claim that policy at Condé Nast Publications violated minimum wage clauses in the Fair Labor Standards Act, and in some cases paid their interns as little as a dollar an hour to perform tasks that were in no way a commercial application of their educational pursuits. Ironically, the practice of exploiting workers would be all but glorified in the 2006 film The Devil Wears Prada, starring Meryl Streep as an overly authoritative editor-in-chief of a fashion magazine. Streep is said to have based how she played the character on the real-world example of long-standing editor at Condé Nast's Vogue, Anna Wintour. Wintour addressed a student assembly at Oxford in 2015 and spoke to her role at the magazine, shared her views on educational quality, and admitted to the crowd gathered that a contingent of powerful people are keenly interested in where the millennial generation will take the convergence of pop culture in the digital age.
I'm Anna, and I've been told to talk to you for 20 minutes about my career and to give you some advice. And then I'm going to take some highly intelligent questions, which I doubt that I'll be able to answer. So part of my role as the artistic director of Condé Nast is to make sure that we embrace change and don't become too insular. To that end, I've been inviting in leading figures and CEOs from all kinds of companies to talk to the editors-in-chief and the digital creatives who run our websites. We had a visit from Eric Schmidt, executive chairman of Google. He asked me if we still believed in the mini movie production Annie Leibovitz celebrity and fashion portfolios that Vanity Fair and Vogue specialize in. And I said, yes, we do, because I feel that's what separates the print magazines from what everyone else is doing. It makes us more special, more luxurious, and in a world that is moving so fast, I'm tempted to make them even more wonderful, something you cannot see anywhere else. England is still the best training ground for journalism and the arts. The smaller scale and the sense of freedom that allows are unparalleled. Thanks to my own English training, I arrived at a New York magazine in my early days in Manhattan. I was a one-woman show. At Condé Nast, we have been guilty of arrogance. We are Condé Nast. We are always done it this way. We're so busy on working at being the best, being perfect, that we haven't always been open to disruption or to seeing new things. So I hope that's changing, because it isn't good. It's important to reach people of your generation today to know what the so-called millennials are up to, because there is, for the first time in decades, a true generation gap. A lot of people in positions of authority, decision makers, want to reach your generation because they understand how powerful it is that you're communicating through social networks in such a vital way. If you like something, tweet something, put it up on Instagram, that's an incredible tool. And it's one that influencers all over the world want to harness. You have a voice simply by the choices you make and the way that you live.
That was Vogue editor Anna Wintour, a long-standing employee of the Newhouse family through Condé Nast, addressing students at Oxford University last year. Wintour was profiled in the CBS News program 60 Minutes over the likeness between she and the character Miranda Priestley in 2009, the same year that Ballinger worked as an intern for the magazine chain. A smile was all Wintour offered in response to an inquiry about the $200,000 per year budgeted for her wardrobe. Yet another issue from their policy with workers involves what's become known as the pledge. The pledge was an agreement between management and senior members of the editorial staff at Newhouse Dailies that so long as the venue published daily and no effort to organize unions was made, employees would never be laid off or see a reduction in wages due to the advancement of technology. After Howard Bronson, an editor from Alabama, sued the company for breach of contract, the company abandoned the policy. Relations with their audiences have also experienced recent lows due to the company's shift away from print by reducing publications to 3 days a week, an offering that caused more backlash than anticipated. A citizens group forwarded an open letter addressed to 22 living members of the Newhouse family. It requested the Times-Picayune, a paper that had become part of the community over its century-long tenure, be sold to a publisher more willing to act in a manner consistent with the public will. One folk singer even borrowed an old tune from the Beatles to drive the point home.
We'll still bring you all your news, babe. Yes, we swear it's true. We'll still bring you all your news, babe. It just won't be so new. Maybe days old, it won't grow mold. We'll still bring you all your news, babe. 3 days a week, don't be singing the blues, babe. We won't give you shit. We'll still bring you all your news, babe. We'll do it with half the staff. We got orders to fire reporters, but we'll still bring you all your news, babe. 3 days a week, 3 days a week, we'll save ourselves a mint. 3 days a week, 'cause all the news ain't fit to print. Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, there's not much to report. And Saturday's the worst day, 'cause you're all watching sports. Just eat your gumbo, be a dumbo. We'll still bring you all your news, babe. 3 days a week, 3 days a week, is all the news you need. 3 days a week, 'cause most of you don't even read.
Folk singer even borrowed an old tune from the Beatles to drive the point home.
We'll still bring you all your news, babe. Yes, we swear it's true. We'll still bring you all your news, babe. Just won't be so new. Maybe days old, it won't grow mold. We'll still bring you all your news, babe. 3 days a week, don't be singing the blues, babe. We won't give you shit. We'll still bring you all your news, babe. We'll do it with half the staff. We got orders to fire reporters, but we'll still bring you all your news, babe. 3 days a week, 3 days a week, we'll save ourselves a mint. 3 days a week, 'cause all the news ain't fit to print. Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, there's not much to report. And Saturday's the worst day, 'cause you're all watching sports. Just eat your gumbo, be a dumbo. We'll still bring you all your news, babe. 3 days a week, 3 days a week. 'Cause most of you don't even read. Who reads a daily paper? No one's got the time. We'll do you all a favor. Put it all online. Check our website. It's a dead side. But we'll still bring all your news, babe. 3 days a week. 3 days a week. 3 days a week. Yeah, you're right.
We come to you 7 days a week, mind you. And you know, just become a member by calling 877-500-5266, and you can make sure we continue coming to you 7 days a week. We're in a matching period. You double the impact of your donation without any extra money out of your pocket. Make your pledge. An anonymous donor is going to match the contribution you make until the end of this hour. So we still have 13 minutes left. 13 minutes left to go in order to have your donation matched. Double the impact of your gift. Call 877-500-5266. This is some good stuff. Do we have a new member? Well, let's take a look. We'll have somebody bring us some paper and we'll look at that. In the meantime, Amy, so what do you think? This is a great show, eh?
Yeah, I'm it's a bird, it's a plane, it's community radio. We are the ones taking on the Goliaths, and you're hearing this information here and nowhere else. You're learning about how media has been consolidated, and if you become part of KBOO, you'll be part of reversing that trend, or as much as possible. And you can pledge $5 a month and pick up KBOO versus the Media Zillas t-shirt.
Indeed, Matt Worker, the artist who created that shirt specially for KBOO, a Pulitzer Prize-winning cartoonist and artist. This is a great, great, very colorful and very cool t-shirt. And it's yours for just $60 a year or, hey, $5 a month. And again, that gets
right
doubled
now,
because it's a matching period, doubled right here until the next, for the next 12 minutes, 11 and a half minutes. You got a little time, so start pressing those digits. 877-500-5266. We harmonize so well.
You can do that also online at kboo.fm. A lot of people listening that way online. We have people outside of our immediate community that can't pick up the airwaves. They can pick up the community radio signal on the internet. So thank you. If you're one of those people, please donate your own way. And otherwise, pick up the phone and call 877-500-5266. Talk to one of our lovely community members right here.
Especially
indeed.
If you have a baby.
And you know, again, it's $60 a year. $5 a month gets you one of these terrific KBOO t-shirts, including that wonderful KBOO versus the Media Zillas. So appropriate when we're listening to this Who Owns the O special investigative report by KBOO's own Robin Ryan. Yet another of the volunteers. Just call that number, 877-500-5266.
Advanced Publication, Inc. today bears little resemblance to its humble Eastern Seaboard beginnings initiated four generations ago, as they are ranked the top privately held media group in the country. The pair of siblings representing the family's second generation are combined worth an estimated $21.4 billion, according to a list published at Forbes just today, with the value of their net worth showing an increase of $2.1 billion since last year's rankings were issued. Their holdings include 20 newspapers and twice as many magazines, as well as a formidable contingent of weeklies. Their reach extends beyond the world of publishing and transcends economic sectors, with assets that include cable companies like Bright House Networks. Bright House paid out $7.2 million for antitrust violations by compelling subscribers to lease set-top boxes in order to obtain premium services. The new houses, furthermore, hold a 31% stake in Discovery Communications and is also the single largest shareholder of internet forum Reddit. Because Sam Sr. involved the entirety of his immediate family in his newspaper business, extended members of the family who don't bear the name Newhouse are free to exert the influence of their affluence with seemingly no connection to the Powered House. The career of Newhouse cousin Robert Myron, described by his peers as the quintessential policy man for the telecommunications industry, serves as a case in point. Myron and his son Stephen are both board members at C-SPAN. Stephen Myron also serves on the board of the National Cable and Telecommunications Association and Bright House Networks. Mark Newhouse is on the board of directors at the Newspaper Association of America and the American Press Institute. Among the dubious liaisons affiliated with this set of companies is Alexander Verveer's relationship to chief counsel to the FCC, Philip Verveer, and Time Warner Cable's attorney, Robert Schumer, who is the brother of New York Senator Chuck Schumer. Renowned media policy analyst and author of several books on the topic of consolidation, Robert McChesney shared his thoughts on why there is room for optimism despite the opaque nature of the moment. The stature companies like Advance Publications and Morris Publishing Group can only last as long as it takes for societies at large to learn to question the layer of the bubble they live in. And in the moment, may the might of the media once again rest in the hands of the masses and not the moguls.
Well, I think we learn from history is that social change, when it comes, is never just one issue you win and then you lose everything else. Pretty much, great moments of social change are periods in which you win a whole lot of things in a number of areas and you consolidate your game. The New Deal, the 1960s, the progressive era in American history. And we need one of those periods. We're going to win media reform that gets us real journalism in conjunction with getting money out of politics, in conjunction with cleaning up the environment, in conjunction with figuring out a way to reduce economic inequality and create an infrastructure that can employ people in a sane economy. These things will rise and fall together. And when we get people thinking that way, and they're beginning to think that way, I think that what seem like immense threats to humanity actually become immense opportunities to make a much better world. And I think that's the cusp of the moment we're on right now.
I oftentimes deal in media policy. That's my frame of reference into sort of how we can restructure media systems and come up with ways to support journalism and independent media. And the results of social movements are going to get us there, and I want everyone who listens to this to be involved in those movements. But at the same time, there is one thing that people can do right away without having to wait for a movement all on their own, which is when you can, do your best to support community media like KBOO. These are our lifeline to the future. And these are media, they don't have corporate support, they don't have to advertise. They depend on people in the community to provide the labor and the resources to make the product happen. And I've had the privilege traveling around the country to go to, I live in a city, Madison, Wisconsin, with a great community radio station, and I go to cities like Portland or Denver with great community radio stations, Boulder. And I've also been to cities where the community station either doesn't exist or where it's just collapsed and has mildew all over it. And the difference in the culture in the cities and the quality of life is night and day. So don't take it for granted when you've got a great community station like KBOO. Support it with everything you've got because, as I said, it's our lifeline to the future.
You can help be part of that lifeline for the future if you pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266. You'll be part of supporting what makes KBOO, what makes Portland a vibrant community, which is KBOO Community Radio. And right now we are in a matching period right now, so if you call and donate, your donation will be doubled. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to make your donation tonight. And you can do that in a lump sum. You can do a monthly amount, and we can take that out of your checking account if you do a monthly amount or off your credit card.
Indeed. And you've only got that matching pledge only goes for another 5 minutes. So make that call now at 877-500-5266. At the $75 level, we still have copies of Amy Goodman's book, Democracy Now! 20 Years Covering the Movements Changing America, and that, on a monthly basis, is only $6.25. $75 minimum donation also gets you, or would also get you, the Democracy Now! T-shirt. Again, $6.25 a month. That That's so doable. Or for a $60 annual pledge, $5 a month, you can pick up one of these fantastic KBOO t-shirts, including this beautiful KBOO versus the Mediazillas. Original art by Matt Worker, a Pulitzer Prize winning artist. Beautiful, multicolored, and extremely cool, and so very fitting with the topic of this Who Owns the O special investigative report.
Yeah, the tagline on there is, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's community radio. And that is what you're supporting when you call 877-500-5266. When you become a member, you do become a voting member, so you can vote for and make decisions in what happens in KBOO at all the different meetings that we have as a radio station. And during our last break, we were talking about, you know, if you have a baby, donate. and one thing that doing that would do is ensuring that future, that lifeline, does stay there for your kids so that the community stays vibrant. You have this resource that is KBOO. So pick up the phone. It's 877-500-5266.
And you've got 3 minutes, count them, three more minutes to go to have your pledge matched. We have a donor who will match your donation. All you need to do is in the next 3 minutes call 877-500-5266. You know, KBOO is different, and we're proud of that. We're homemade, handcrafted radio. We come from the communities we serve, and we serve the communities from which we come. This is a station unlike any other in Portland, and we need your support, and a lot of you are doing this already, and we are so grateful to you. Those of you who haven't yet, you know who you are. Pick up that phone. Press the digits. There we go. Press those digits. 877-500-5266.
Hey, my name is Lisa Loving, and I'm the evening news director. I actually wanted to take a minute before we're done with this hour and say that if you were listening to what Robert McChesney was saying at the end of this broadcast there, he was saying that the reason KBOO is important is because KBOO is a bridge to the future. We are a part of the spectrum of the media in which no one can buy us out, and that's because you invest in what we do. 877-500-5266. That Matt Worker t-shirt, KBOO versus the Mediazillas, that tells the whole story of this TV, this radio special, and also why we're here. So we're in a matching phase. Strongly want to encourage you to come in person. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. But give us a call, 877-500-5266. We're getting close to the goal, friends. And this is matching. This is one of the coolest membership drives ever. And I just really want to strongly encourage people to invest. 877-500-5266. Thank you.
Indeed, you're investing in your future, investing in the community's future. If you can, just call 877-500-5266. If you're online, go to the website at kboo.fm and click on the donate button. Your pledge, your donations keep us on the air, keep this great programming coming to you. And where would you be without KBOO, eh?
Yeah, and you know what? We are only beholden to you. We're not beholden to some media corporate backer. We're not beholden to the government. We don't get the government support. 80% of our budget comes directly from you, listeners. So please, right now, during this membership matching period, the last few seconds of it, pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266. Make a quick, secure donation. You can do it online, you can do it a monthly way, you can give one time, and if you give a monthly amount, you can increase the amount that you give each month. Thank you so much. 877-500-5266.
Yay! To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Holla! Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, for the working class, and by the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfin, and I'm a member of the American Federation of State